Fight!
Welcome to New Game Plus. This is a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
And I'm Nolan.
And this is episode 84. We're going to be talking about the game The Addams Family, but I actually have something first to confess, and that is that I am not here right now. I'm actually recording my bit in advance. I am sadly unable to be a part of this episode, and while that is sad, the reason behind that is happy because I'm in Paris! Yeah! I'm celebrating 5 years of wedded bliss with my wife. I still wanted to stop by and say hi, and I am entrusting you for the remainder of this episode in the hands of Kenny and Nolan. That's scary. I can't wait to get back, but I hope that you guys have a great episode. Au revoir!
It's not scary, Dustin. Like, who does this guy think he is? He leaves for 1 weekend, and then what? We can't handle this?
Yeah, I think we'll be okay.
I really think so. I mean, we've done it before.
I am a little jealous, though, of what, him getting to be in Paris. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd say, if I had to pick between Paris and the podcast, I think I'd definitely go with Paris.
Pretty easy choice, for sure.
Yeah, he's been sending us some update pics in Discord.
Yeah, if you're not on our Discord channel, I checked him out. If you're not on our Discord channel, one more great reason to join us there is moments in our life that are worth sharing. And hanging out in Paris was definitely one of those moments for Dustin and his wife. And so happy 5th anniversary to them. I hope they had a great time and we're missing them. But hop in the Discord to our viewers and check out some of the things that they did while they were there. And in the meantime, let's get into today's episode.
Let's do it. Well, today we are going to be talking about The Addams Family, the video game. But before we do that, we need to have some sort of intro, right?
Oh, sure. We'll stick to tradition.
All right, let's be spooky here since we are on, let's be on theme.
All right, I like it.
Okay. Favorite horror story or book? Doesn't have to be when you were a kid, just in your lifetime. What's your go-to scary thing? I guess it could be a TV show or something like that, but I was thinking more book. I have more connection to books.
I don't tend to do too many TV shows, and like generally speaking, scary horror thriller kind of stuff isn't really my jam. If we are including TV shows, hands down, Stranger Things. Like, that was just excellent. I can't wait for this fall for the next
one.
That was
recent. I was thinking more nostalgic. But
I agree. But just okay. in that vein, like, that popped out to me for sure. And though there's a couple of classics that are pretty scary, and I guess most of, like, Stephen King's stuff is considered horror, even the stuff that isn't, like, really dark in horror. The Stand is an excellent novel, and it gets pretty dark. So I'd put that on my radar, but
so long, Kenny.
Oh, it's really long. You gotta really invest. You should. There's no reason you couldn't. I know some of the other stuff you've read, and it'll take a little while to slug through, but you'd be fine. Yeah. But it's a great novel. But the one that sticks out to me is there was this series of short stories, and I forget what they were called.
Better not steal my answer.
Oh, is this? Did you read those too? This wasn't Goosebumps. This was like
Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Yeah,
more Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
It was those.
Yeah.
And they were always these stupid scary stories, the kind of stories that like you'd tell around a campfire, but at a terrible like summer retreat for kids.
They were disturbing because those illustrations. Now they've censored them since then. They've redone the books to be more kid friendly, which I totally disagree.
No, I remember them being pretty actually dark as a kid.
They are disturbing. Hannah, my wife, bought me the set last Christmas, the original ones.
Right.
So apparently you can still get them online, and I definitely recommend those over others. But yeah, it's like it's short stories that are very short and sometimes funny, but sometimes really scary, and the artwork is a little too much for kids, but they still made it a kid's book. And
absolutely.
It was
clearly catered to kids, but they were pretty heavy, if I recall. Or maybe that's just literally my kid perspective talking, but you've seen them more recently and still think
I'd
that.
I'd say
so.
They're still... I looked through it as an adult and was like, oh my goodness. Like, they allowed me to read this at school?
Right. What were they thinking?
Anyways, those are some good choices, I'd say. I do not have a segue. Do you have one? Would you like to go ahead?
I don't. Not with this direction that we went. Dustin's going to be really, really ashamed of us.
I know. But I don't care.
You know what?
I don't care.
I'm sure there's a joke about, like, I've got to hand it to you. Or okay. Something about facial hair, since we're bearded, in terms of Adam's Family characters. But they're all stretched. I've got ideas of segues, but nothing ready to deliver.
I had a really stretch, one that was a real stretch, but I don't even want to say what it was. I was gonna ask you if you knew anything about fixing cars.
Right.
And then if you said yes or no, I was like, yeah, it's just my car's making this weird noise. It's kind of like a ba-da-da-da.
Yeah, that would have been terrible. I would have just shaken my head and we would have all judged you. But thankfully you didn't actually do that. You just told us that you intended to not do it. And hopefully Dustin and our viewers won't be too let down. But he's the one that really has to deliver the corny cornness of...
He's the corn king.
He's the corn king. He's not here to dispute us, so we can give him whatever titles we want. He's the corn king and he's the mayor of Paris. And he doesn't like video games.
Well, without further ado, let's get into our game of the week, The Addams Family.
Overview. So, interestingly enough, I guess unsurprisingly, because we've seen with so many of these old games that there's a movie made of something or a TV show made of something, and somebody wants to still make some more money, and so they put out a whole bunch of games and on a whole bunch of consoles. And so, interestingly enough, there's a lot of, or at least a decent number of, the Addams Family based video games, which is strange. And this week we specifically played the game that came out on the Game Boy, though I believe that same version of the game was ported to a number of other consoles as well.
Yeah, Genesis, SNES.
Yeah, even some other stuff from what I'm reading, but I didn't see what all for sure. But they pushed it to everything. It was clearly one of those, like, this title is in the public's eye, and so let's make a game from it and monetize.
Usually the case with, like, these movie titles, because they're like, they want it on all fronts to make the most money. You know.
Yeah, they tend to be marketing as much as video game design, and usually conversations about these video games get pretty interesting because of what that means for the game itself. But developed by Ocean Software, came out in the early 90s. I forget what year. 1992, I believe. Yeah, something like that. I've seen a couple of different things listed. I know the movie came out in 1991. And then I think the game came out just after that. And it is a platformer, a side-scrolling action platformer. Mm-hmm. In this case, you're playing the role of one of the titular characters of the Addams Family. Specifically, it's a fun word to drop, isn't it? You're specifically playing as Gomez Addams.
The dad.
Yeah. And the rest of your family's in trouble. Your the attorney that the family has hired is trying to take over all their assets, evict them from their home, steal their stuff. It's a whole messed up plot. If you want more on the plot, go watch the movie. I don't know that I can recommend it, but I do remember this era, the Addams Family being a big thing and TV and reruns and. Mm-hmm. And in this case, the family attorney is trying to steal the home,
the estate,
and has kidnapped everybody, basically. And so Gomez has to go around and set free all the kids and the wife and Uncle Fester and the whole gang, and get everybody set free, and then deal with this troublesome attorney. And
that's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it's a summary of the game. It's you know, being a Game Boy title, it's pretty generic in terms of graphics and those kind of things, but a pretty straightforward title when you just look at it overall.
Yeah. So going into this, when you heard last week on our Mega Man X episode that we would be playing the Addams Family for Game Boy, were you expecting a platformer? Because I didn't have any information about this game. I feel like a lot of people, a lot of our viewers probably didn't.
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect, honestly. Sometimes I feel like doing the platformer is sort of the easy default. So I kind of always expect that, I almost feel like, especially this sort of set of years when stuff came out. But they ended up doing a couple Addams Family games that weren't platformers, or that were at least very different kinds of platformers, some of the other titles they released. And so you definitely don't like have to go that direction. So I don't know.
You know, it's an easy way out, the platformer, like you said. But at the same time, I think when you're making games based off of movies / TV shows, it's almost necessary, I think, because... So we played Scooby-Doo recently, and it was a point-and-click disaster. And I said, if this was a platformer, you know, I would have been so okay with that. It's just a platformer with a movie/TV show skin thrown on it.
Sure.
And I think it's a good default to go to. There are other options out there for these developers, and back then things were way different.
It's safe, though, you know? It's something that you don't have to think about too much, and you can, again, like you said, you can sort of skin it in whatever you want, or if you're Domino's, you know, you can skin it in your advertising campaign, as we saw.
Gosh. We're not going there.
We're not going to talk about Yonoid and how interesting that was. It's easy, but it makes sense that they do that.
You mentioned that you play as Gomez Adams, and we're on the Game Boy here, so I will not be too harsh when it comes to graphics, but come on, that character model, Kenny.
That character model was something else.
I mean, the face is just a blob.
It's not a face. If you saw the character model outside of knowing it was an Addams Family game, I would give you a 0% chance of identifying the character as that character.
You might accidentally identify it as Hitler.
Right. Or any other slightly more famous person than Gomez Adams, because it's just this generic-looking sort of businessman. Yeah, you get the mustache. But you just look like a really bad, evil, used car salesman that got his soul sucked into a Game Boy. I don't know. It was interesting.
It was interesting, but I won't harp. I'm really not going to harp on graphics a lot this episode, because we're on the original Game Boy. That's a long time ago. That was 1990 and 1991. So
here's
like,
the thing, though. There were some good, pretty games on that platform. I mean, within its limitations, you're not getting the color. You know, you're very limited in what you can do. But as a designer, you can still go in and make something that's aesthetically pleasing. You really can.
I think later games, yes. This was a very early game for the system, though. It was released in Japan, I think, in 89. So... you know, this was a fairly early in the lifespan of the Game Boy game, and they definitely improved later. So not only are we getting a movie-based game, it's also an early Game Boy game in the lifespan. So consider that going forward.
I feel like it's a bad excuse. I feel like you're just giving them an out where they don't deserve it on a lot of fronts.
I am, and I think that we should keep that in mind going forward when we're talking about the graphics. Anyways.
That's fair. I mean, we try and be balanced and fair, and But let's jump in officially, and let's talk about the gameplay of Addams Family.
Gameplay.
Okay, platformer. Now, in platformers, there's enemies, and there's several enemies in this game. There's ghosts and bats and slimes and things that you can't really tell what they are, but they hurt you, so they're considered enemies. Now,
sure. Toys in one case.
Yeah. Oh.
All kinds.
I'll
of things.
Talk about that. I'll talk about that section in a little bit. Now you have a weapon. Starting out, you have a sword, but you shoot it.
You throw it like a spear, but out of your stomach.
It's just, that was lazy, I have to say. That was pretty lazy.
It was really lazy. It comes right out of the middle of the character as if it's, extending from your belly button or like you actually have an alien in you and it's spitting out swords and you're just not
seeing
it.
That's on theme with the Addams Family, though.
That's true. It is, but it definitely is weird, not intentional. But I guarantee not by design. I would put money on the fact that it was just laziness. No.
Well, either way, you have this. You have a sword, and at the bottom of your screen, let's just lay it out. You've got your health bar. You have four hearts. At the middle, you have your item, the current item that or weapon that you're using,
right?
Which is a sword that shoots when you start out, and then you have an energy bar for it's basically mana, I guess, for that current item that you have equipped. It's the ammo.
Yeah, it's your ammunition. It's you don't get to use any of your weapons, most of your weapons, eternally. There's a few I forget if there's those limitations on, but I think they all tick down. And you have to recharge it every once in a while. Like, both of those are fine mechanics to use in a game.
Very surprised that they were there, honestly, because not only is it a good mechanic to have, it works.
To some degree.
I think it worked. I mean, considering what this game is, and you know, you've got to have enemies and you've got to have a way to fight them. And it could have just been simply like a, I don't know, punch.
That's true.
What does Gomez and Addams do? And so the fact that you have interchangeable items is pretty good.
No, it is. The fact that you get different weapons is neat. And I realized, I don't know, last week or sometime recently that I am a huge advocate of health bars in video games over characters that just take damage and die, or that it doesn't show, or that it's like a devolve. Even Mario, as much as it works for that series well, I think I prefer games that give you the health bar or the set of hearts or whatever it is. And they did it in this case, and it was a fine decision.
It's nice to know, and honestly, that mechanic's absent in several Game Boy games. I can't even think of one. And I know they're out there, so don't kill me, listeners, but like,
we're going to murder you in your sleep, Nolan, for being wrong about a video game.
I'm going to sleep with one eye open, though.
Okay.
Listen, it's okay to have it in there. In fact, it works. And like I said, very surprising to find in this seemingly terrible Game Boy title. Now, to get new items, you defeat bosses. So, yes, you do have bosses. And
in that way, it's actually a little bit like a Mega Man game.
Oh, come on. No, it's not.
I'm not saying the game is anything actually like Mega Man. It plays completely differently. And trust me, when you hear my opinion at least of this game versus a Mega Man title, it'll become clear that I'm not overstating here. But the idea is right. Like, it's sort of open world. You don't have to fight bosses in any particular order. Yeah. You know, besides like the final boss that you have to have gotten the other bosses to get to, I believe. I forget how that mechanic works. But so you get to go and do the different areas in the order that you please. When you kill the boss, you get a weapon upgrade that comes specifically from that boss. And those weapons or tools give you utility to progress further in the game. In that way, it's sort of like a Mega Man game.
The way you just described it, it is.
But I also feel like I'm blaspheming a little saying that.
You kind of are, but I get it. There's what I'm getting from you saying that, and just from my own opinion of this last week playing this game, there was a lot of surprises in this game that fit and that were unexpected but worked. And the fact that you can get items by defeating bosses, but then also do them in a different order. I like that. I think Mega Man's brilliant for doing it, and I don't think that they pulled from Mega Man in any way.
Oh no.
Making this game, but the fact that basically we didn't mention, but you're traversing the mansion, and a little outside of the mansion as well.
Right.
So you're just kind of looking for bosses. I guess that's another thing we need to talk about. It's not linear.
Right. It felt a little different. I talked a little bit about kind of the openness of it, but it's not. Most platforms are like really, really linear. Some of them not even letting you go back like left on your screen. You can only progress right. This was not that kind of game at all. You had up and down that you could explore as you needed to. You could go left and right. You could kind of go anywhere you wanted within the setting that you had, the mansion and directly outside the mansion, and explore that. And you could do it in any order you chose.
Yeah, which I mean, did you keep track of your order?
I kind of did. I did not.
Okay.
I kind of just explored and would find something and then beat something and then kind of keep going.
I mean, I think that's how the game's played too. Like, I did that to a degree as well. Like, I didn't look at a guide. And by the way, this game's very short.
It's very short.
I beat it this week and actually kind of played a little more afterward just to see if there was other stuff. Very short game.
Like a full, complete playthrough with like a few deaths and continues probably runs half an hour.
Yeah, if you're good at it.
Right, yeah, if it's a fairly well done one. You're playing like this whole game and learning it and picking it up and doing some of the exploring of the world and you're still almost completely done in an hour. Like you play this game for more than 2 hours total and you're going to start feeling like you're way redundant and that you're recycling content like crazy.
Well, for me, at first I was like, this isn't bad. But it's kind of easy to get lost in the mansion. The level design, if you want to call it that, which it is.
It's just not good.
I would just call them areas, not levels. And you can get lost easily. But I just like that you can explore and you can quickly pick up on, okay, I need to beat bosses, I need to get items, and that's how I progress. I never really felt like, what's the point? It's just not... I don't know. To me, that may be a negative thing for you, but I think it worked. Like I said, I was done with the game a little over an hour.
It was a little bit kind of like when I first got in, I sort of wandered around and walked up some levels and down some levels. And before I discovered that there were kind of sub areas that, you know, are more like levels and that each one really did sort of have a start and an end and there was some completeness there, it felt really haphazard to me. But once I kind of got that, It was pretty clear what you were supposed to do, and you kind of just find those areas and check them off one at a time. And so that was a fine choice. It's not my like favorite way to do things, but on its own, that wasn't a bad decision.
Okay, what about difficulty? Did you think the game overall was hard?
Not overall.
To pick up, okay.
There were some really, really frustrating things about playing it, at least initially for the first time. In terms of how the character is controlled, in terms of how your weapons come out, even some bugs. Like, most of the time, I don't find obvious glitches and bugs in games on, like, a first just really informal playthrough. But almost immediately found some bugs and glitches in this game, like, right away. It was not a super well-developed and tested game. It's just not that kind of game.
Well, I don't know if you're referring to this, but... this goes in that category, but the way Hitstun works in this game is awful.
Oh, it's terrible.
You can easily get locked into a combo. It's super unfair. Like you have the Hitstun and then it kind of stops you, but then like usually games, well-designed games, will give you that brief period to like Mega Man will give you a brief period to, you know, get to safety or to, you know, fight your way out of there, but you can just easily just get...
You still get... I mean, you get, like, a little bit of invulnerability to, like, sort of progress, but you can't use your weapons at all once you've been hit.
No.
And they can also... The hit from an enemy can also interrupt your ability to move between areas in the game. And so there was one area that I was, like, trying to get into the next area and go, like, fight a boss...
Like a doorway or something?
Yeah, this doorway. Or I think it was the first time I was trying to go into the toy box. And these bats kept hitting me. And I was right on it. And I was pushing the right button. And I was getting so frustrated that it wouldn't just let me go to the next area. Mm-hmm. And those bats are annoying. Like, they're small. And aiming your stupid sword from the stomach projectile at them and hitting them more than once was not fun.
It's definitely the classic, like, really unfair... get super mad pathing that enemies have in these Game Boy games and early platformers, just like unfair the way that they move around.
Yeah, they really do.
So that made the game difficult for me. And another thing, there's a lot of spikes in that you can fall into.
And not just on the floor. I hate roof spikes in every game, no matter what. Maybe occasionally there's something that calls for it because it sort of makes the level design intriguing in terms of, you know, giving you some limitations in your space. But in almost every game, when there are roof spikes that are like insta-death, it just frustrates me. It just feels cheap and lazy.
And I forgot that they were there, so I would just jump and just get
hit by it. Oh, yeah, half of them don't look like spikes. Half of them look like ornamentation, like on the level. Like it's just part of the like look of that scene. And the first time it happened to me, I was baffled. I was like, why am I dead right now? Like I just jumped to this next area and look at all this pretty background up on the ceiling. Oh, apparently those are spikes, and now I'm dead. It was kind of terrible.
There's definitely some hurdles to get over in the gameplay as far as difficulty goes. Now, before we get onto the age section, let's talk about the bosses, which was one of my favorite things about the game. It made maneuvering the maze and the difficult enemies and the spikes worth it. Not that they're just like super well-designed fights. I mean, it's always just let me shoot whatever item I'm using at this big guy. But I still thought it was fun. So you've got the skull dude from like the graveyard. You have this chandelier ghost. I don't know how to describe him.
I know what you're talking about. You've got an underwater kraken kind of looking thing.
Yeah, you got the squid. The teddy bear, which was my personal favorite. It's just this giant teddy bear with a flail that walks onto the screen. It's so funny.
You do have to fight Uncle Fester at one point, which is
The evil
fight.
Uncle Fester.
Uh-huh.
And then the final boss, which is the attorney, who is super strong for an attorney. Way stronger than
really
a skull
annoying.
In the graveyard.
He does so much damage, and you have to hit him so many times.
It's like a one hit.
To get through it. Yeah, it's literally like, learn this boss and play him perfectly, or you're in serious trouble. That one was not a well-designed fight. I get that your final boss should be difficult, but that was just ridiculous.
Okay, favorite item.
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
They're all similar, right?
Somewhat. A few of them had different like functions than other things.
Yeah, that's what's cool. So you had the weapons. You had the sword and then the hot coals and then the spike, which you probably didn't get because...
I don't think I got
better
the spike.
Games than you
don't. Yeah.
It's an optional item that's super strong for the final boss, but it's also really annoying to get.
The ice block though was kind of intriguing.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to point out. So you've got these environmental items that help you maneuver the level. So like if there's spikes on the ground, you can throw down this toy block, jump on it, and then help you get across the gap. But then there's ice physics too, which what?
Yeah.
I also hate ice physics.
As a rule, I hate ice physics, and when I saw it, I was like, this level's going to be bad. And it was. And frustrating, but there is one thing I hate more than ice physics in games, and I feel like every game that's bad has this, and this one may have been one of the worst implementations in my mind, is underwater levels.
Oh, yeah.
That's... underwater level was absolutely horrendous.
It was so forced, too.
Yeah,
like,
not only,
it did not need to be there.
It didn't. Not only did it feel forced and it was silly, but all the normal annoying things about underwater levels in terms of how you move and like the way fish move and the kinds of things that are going to hurt you that are frustrating, this kind of had all of those. But then the single laziest and most terrible I'm underwater set of movement animations in any game.
Really,
it basically didn't make him look like he's swimming at all.
He's standing.
You're just standing there walking like you would walk on the ground, but like moving your feet constantly, and you're upright the whole time, and you're just moving through the water directly vertical upright, like running, walking in place. It just looks so unrealistic.
You're pissed off now because I brought up... But seriously, a lazy and forced water level that did not have to be there.
Absolutely.
At all. Now, I did get curious, and I wanted to look up the speedrun, because there's skippable stuff in the game. Like, you actually don't have to fight every boss. The speedrun's a minute and a half. He just goes straight to Tully, the attorney, and just stands behind him and shoots swords in his back. So that was satisfying to watch, but also a little frustrating, because I just spent a long time trying to beat the game.
Yeah, 2 hours of your life. Way less than a lot of games will take, but it was 2 hours spent with a game that you probably didn't enjoy as much as many of the games that we play, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm projecting here.
Well, let's see what we think about how this game holds up today when we talk about how it's aged.
Aged. So one of the things that always sticks out to me first when we talk about age of the game, and we sometimes bring it up, we sometimes don't, and I actually think we might disagree in this case on our opinions of this, but is music of the game.
Okay.
And I actually really enjoyed the music portions of this game.
As did I.
Okay.
I thought it was adapted well. Like, from the very beginning, when the title screen comes up and
you,
it's done.
Right, you get the actual theme song, and though it's, you know, old Game Boy style MIDI, and you've got lots of limitations there, they got about as close as you can get, considering. And, you know, that's the iconic thing that you would have had to have had. We've had a couple of games that have iconic pieces of music in a movie that they're based on or whatever that do not have those pieces of music in the game. And that's so frustrating.
Yeah, that it's also frustrating, though, when it's done poorly. Right. I'm trying to think of an example. We've definitely played a game where I was like, are you kidding me? Now, Michael Jackson's game was great. I mean, I thought the music was, you know... but then, yeah, so when it's not there, it's annoying. When it's bad, it's annoying. But I think we agree, this Game Boy title of the Addams Family had good music.
Yeah, I thought so. Throughout the game. And it was the kind of music that as I was listening to it, I really thought, hey, you know what? Some people might hate this. Like, it was a little repetitive, and it definitely sounds old. But it's like, it's classic, early, nostalgia-heavy video game music. It really is. And it, you know, they changed music based on the areas that you were in, and they did some things that made me actually go, okay, I'm kind of digging the music here, interestingly enough. On the flip side of that, I thought the sound effects in this game were actually terrible. and really did sort of show its age. But
yeah.
For an older game, it's old music, but it's old in a way that makes you like want to go back and pull out your Game Boy and play Game Boy titles again.
I think so. And, you know, I didn't really notice the sound effects. They're, you know, games like this on this platform tend to do this thing where if there's too many noises happening at once, one will take precedence over the other and sound really weird. So there's a little bit of that happening. And graphically, too, we might as well talk about that. When there's too much on the screen, obviously you get the lag. When there's too many pixels moving on the screen. Now, did that hinder me? No.
I didn't get as much of that in this game as I've gotten in some titles. I don't feel like Game Boy suffered from that as bad as other platforms in general. But you do get some of it.
Yeah, mostly for me it was in the graveyard with the bats and the ghosts on screen. Because when you shoot the ghost, for some reason, they don't just die. They like fly across the screen.
Shoots them way back.
So that had some slowdown. But now, okay, graphically, we agree with the audio. I thought it was good.
On the graphics?
Yeah, I did.
Huh, interesting. I thought now, there were lots of
the character
of
models sucks. And yeah. We've made fun of that
okay,
already.
Okay, good.
But
character models were terrible. I felt like, again, for the Game Boy, for the era it was coming out and the title it was coming out on, I thought the like intro and like end of level graphics where you saw faces and they were actually recognizable and it gave you a little bit of story, that those things were fine. This game wasn't heavy on story. You know, I'd love to have been a little bit more immersed. It was so short, you didn't really get any of that. And they had a whole movie to just steal plot from. So they could have fleshed that out a little. But those looked good. I do have to say it is completely inexcusable to ship a finished published title where there is like an obvious grammatical error in your main opening sequence. And I'm not
talking about the apostrophe.
No. There's a repeated word. The third or fourth screen, it's like something to, and then on the next line it says to again. It says it twice instead of once. And it just felt... it's one of those things that games either feel like there's been attention to detail and love or that there hasn't been. And I got a lot more hasn't been out of this game than I got has been.
Wow. I didn't notice the error, but you're totally right. Like, come on, that's the first screen. You can proofread that two more times catch that.
Like, I don't think in this case... The source material, if anything, was going in the other direction. It's not like it's a bad Japanese translation like we can sometimes blame things on or whatever. Somebody just messed up with their input and nobody actually, like, screened the thing at all? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, tiny errors like that always get me because those are easy. The harder, the more difficult thing I would assume in developing games is making it fun, making it playable.
Absolutely.
Let's just move into New Game Plus. Let's see if we give this game our personal votes.
The final shell shock.
Here's the thing about New Game Plus.
Okay.
I don't think I have fairly expressed my opinion of this game fully.
Hit me.
We have had some games that I don't especially appreciate so far. And though this doesn't top some of those titles, I think, to me, this was one of the worst games we've played yet.
Wow. I don't know what you're on.
I really
did.
This
is clearly not the worst.
No. It's by no means the worst game we've played. We've played some worse games, and we will play some more terrible games. And I don't just say this because it's a movie remake. You know, we generally frown on a lot of those because they tend to not be as good at games. There's exceptions. There's Lion Kings and whatever
else. But it comes down to the game. We really do look at the game, not the name.
Right. A game's either good or it's not. And to me, there were so many of those little annoyances in how the game looked and in how characters looked and in how you interacted with enemies and how much damage things did and weapons and hitboxes, and I just found myself like getting frustrated with this game again and again and again. And there were some interesting things in there, the things that we talked about, like some fun music, the swapping of weapons and the difference in bosses and areas is okay. The kind of openness of the world and platforming is fun. But I just really, really, really overall did not enjoy playing this game.
Fair enough. So no new game plus for me.
It's like if you happen to have it on your actual Game Boy and every other Game Boy cartridge you have is broken and you're stuck in a car and don't have anything else to read or a person to talk to or any music whatsoever, fine, play it. But outside of that scenario, I say not worth it.
That's never going to happen to anyone in the history moving forward.
Then exactly. So no New Game Plus from me.
Okay. Well, okay, with Dustin gone, I think the rule is that we have to come to some sort of consensus, and if not, Dustin will have to be the deciding factor.
Yeah.
I would think it's hilarious that he has to play this game when he gets back from Paris. Just throwing that out there. Okay, for me.
Is that a preview? Did you actually like enjoy this game?
Yes, Kenny. I did.
I'm so surprised. Okay.
It's clunky.
It's so clunky.
It's clunky. It could have been a better platformer. Okay. I'm considering the platform it's on, and I'm considering my own expectations and hate that I thought I would be going into this game with.
There's some really smooth titles on the Game Boy, though. You don't have to be clunky just because of the look and limitations of the hardware.
There are, and I'll name them. I loved the original Game Boy. Mario Land was great. Alleyway was great. Tetris, obviously one of the greatest on the original Game Boy. So, but none of... Okay, Mario Land is a platformer, so this isn't fair, but like this platformer could have been smoother. Let's just say that. But I thought it looked nice. I thought it sounded nice.
I'll give you that one.
I liked the item switching mechanic. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Although you don't use all of them.
No, it's almost unnecessary. Like, you just use the sword, and then maybe you use the bombs, which are basically swords but slightly better. And that's pretty much it. Yeah, like, it didn't feel necessary.
You used... Okay, see, this is where the ice cubes come in handy to get that spike, which is the, like, god weapon that has a lot of damage on it. You go in the freezer, and you have to... That's where all the ice mechanics are, and then you have to use the ice cube to go across water. Like, you put an ice cube in the water, and that's how you platform across. Thought that was great. You can't knock that. That's great mechanics.
There were a few little moments where you kind of went, like... Okay, they almost tried, but just overall, I wasn't buying it.
Fine. Okay. Anyways, I had fun with the game. I really want to give it New Game Plus, but I can't. It's not there. And the thing with New Game Plus, it's like, go get a copy and play it. You got to. And as much as I want to give it New Game Plus, not only to see Dustin play it...
But yeah, I kind of wish you had, just so that Dustin would have to come back and agree with me about how much this game... isn't worth playing.
He totally agree with you. And, I know. And that's why I have to be real with myself and not recommend this game. It doesn't get New Game Plus, although, hey, if you do like Addams Family, maybe play it. I don't know.
But not like it's the worst thing that would ever happen to you. I just overall didn't like it, but a couple of respectable things in there, but then a couple of very, very disrespectable, yeah, I'll use it,
sure,
things as okay. well. And so, yeah, I get it. We fell on kind of opposite sides of the it's mediocre coin.
Sure, sure. We did have an email come in this week with some feedback on the game. This is coming from Jan. And he says, "Hi, guys. So you might have guessed from all the messages I sent in Discord this week." Shout out to Discord. "The Game Boy is one of my favorite systems. It has some great games with great music, interesting graphics, amazing gameplay. Games with creative solutions to the limited hardware capabilities." I totally agree with that.
Also true.
"This game has none of that." Let me elaborate. "The story isn't very interesting. Well, maybe it will make up for it with great gameplay. Spoiler, it doesn't. I have no idea what to do or where to go. It doesn't give any hints whatsoever. Also, everything outside and inside the house is attacking me. Why is that?"
It does just kind of drop you into the world, and it's one of those that if you like walk out and back in, that same enemy is back again. And that's A, sort of annoying, and B, sort of exploitable too. You could do the same thing with like health refills and things that, again, just felt kind of cheap. So I'm with him on that.
I can forgive him. He says, "The hitboxes are awful, and when you're hit, you can't retaliate. It's infuriating. The jump sound is very annoying. The music is boring. The level design feels very random. What's wrong with this game?" I know what's wrong with this game. "This game makes the Game Boy look bad. This little machine can do so much better. Try Tetris, or Final Fantasy, or Zelda, Link to the Past, or Metroid, or Super Mario Land. I can go on for hours. I think this might not come as a surprise. I do not give this game my vote for New Game Plus. Do not play this game. No, really, don't. Hopefully the next game can cheer me up. Meanwhile, I'll be playing Super Mario Land while denying this game exists."
That's a good choice if you happen to do a little Game Boy redeeming, and I'm firmly in his camp on this one. So thanks for the thoughts.
I can see what yours. Yeah, thanks so much, Jen. I can see where you guys are coming from. When he puts it that way, the system is capable of much more. But again, this came out a year after it was released in the States, and I don't know. It doesn't get New Game Plus, but at the same time, I had a little fun with it, so yeah, we'll just leave it at that.
I think good compromise. A lot of games that are like movie remakes, it feels like they didn't even try. You know, it literally just feels like a terrible, empty, hollow game. This one, it feels like they actually tried to make a good game. I think they just swung and missed.
So, Kenny, this week is actually pretty exciting. This is your favorite part of the episode.
I know, I love these moments. And I love the weeks that we're doing what we're doing this week, because it's slightly different than our usually completely random selection.
Correct. This week, we are doing a Patreon pool. So, as you know or may not know, if this is your first time listening, we have a giant list of games that we select from every week. It's a giant list where our viewers have suggested games that they want to see us play, good or bad, and it's a humongous list.
I know I plug it often, but as humongous as it is, it's an incomplete list. There are tons and tons of retro video games, good and bad, and so if any of our viewers ever want to recommend that we play a game, they can check out that Retro Master list by getting on our website and following the links there. And if there's a game they want that we don't have on there, email it to us. We'll gladly add it to the Retro Master list so that we have the opportunity to play it sometime in the future.
Absolutely. And this week, what a Patreon pool is so our supporters, our patrons that support us monthly to help us produce content for you, they get, there's a level on there where they get the chance to submit two games of their choice into a smaller pool that we randomize from. So all the other games they don't want us to see are taken out, and just the two they want us to play are put in that randomizer. So when we hit randomize this week, we're going to get one of those games. And let me tell you, Kenny, there are some really, really good ones in here. They didn't troll us this time.
I'm going to say, I like that our patrons, for the most part, want us to talk about games they enjoy, and for most of the time, put in some really classic old retro games. It's a good way of us getting not just some of the old random junk, but ensuring that we get some good titles in here. Though the opportunity for them to just push a game that they really want to see us suffer through is always there, and we have been kind of trolled in the past. I like that most of the time they've got our back and provide us some good games, and so I'm excited to see what they've got for us this week.
We've got some big ones. We've got Diablo 2. We've got Ocarina of Time in there.
Ooh.
DuckTales. There's a lot of games in here. And thanks to everyone this week for submitting those. So let's go ahead and randomize and see what we get.
As always, I freak out a little. Small adrenaline rush, and so much of whether my week is good or bad depends on the words that you're about to say to me, Nolan.
We are going to be playing a game that was submitted by Jesse the Jet called Tyrion.
Tyrion. Interesting.
Yes.
I don't know that I've ever
heard
of it.
Very interesting.
What platform is it on?
PC.
Okay.
It is a scrolling shooter game. Probably is going to have some arcade vibes going on.
Sweet.
Yeah, it came out in 95.
We haven't played a mainly PC title in quite a while. We've lived in Consoleville and a few arcade titles for quite a bit. And some of the older retro like PC games... Not even like just DOS era, but like early Windows, and some of those were so much fun to me. And so I'd love if we had some more of those submitted by our viewers. Though we do have a number on our list, it tends to be dwarfed by the console titles for the most part.
Well, you'll get to have fun this week because this looks like it's a DOS exclusive.
Sweet. Tyrion. Awesome.
Thank you so much again, while we're on that note, to our patrons who support us every week. And there were some people that upped their giving this week to get into the pool, to the $5 level. So thanks guys for that support. So awesome. We've got a special shout out to Dragnus, who upped his amount to be in the Patreon pool. And welcome Starquake. We have a new patron. Starquake has been hanging out with us in the Discord for a while now. And thanks so much for deciding to jump on and support us. We really, really appreciate it.
Absolutely. We always take the moment to shout out to our producers, Bradley and Zion. You guys go above and beyond in your support of us on Patreon and really help drive our ability to continue improving the quality of what we do. And we appreciate it.
Absolutely. And we've said it several times at this point, but Discord is a place where you can come hang out with us throughout the week. We're in there and we chat, and we talk about the game of the week. We talk about what games we're playing now, or we talk about whatever we feel like it. So you can find the link to our Discord on our Twitter, on our social media sites. So just join. It's free. In fact, you could have really benefited this last week. I tweeted out some of our patrons were opening up one of their submissions to non-patrons to get in on the pool this week. So next time it was fun. In fact, this may have been one of them. I know Jesse allowed one of her slots to be used by
a
someone
suggestion
else.
So, of somebody else. That's great. Yeah.
So there's some benefits in there for you next time we do this.
Connect with us throughout the week in some other ways as well. We'd love to hear from you via email, ngppodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter to know when we're recording, what's going on with us throughout the week. If we do live stream to Twitch, our recordings, when that happens. And as always, hop on your favorite podcast provider and rate and review. We'd love to connect with you guys in any of those ways. And thanks for listening.
Until next time, we're going to be playing Tyrion, and Dustin is not here.
And I'm jealous of the fact that he's in Paris.
And I'm actually going to say my name, which is Nolan, and we will see you guys next week. Oh, wait. And this has been New Game Plus.